here's a story from The World.
By mid-April, China was recovering from the coronavirus. Lockdowns were lifting. But then a new worry, fears of imported cases, people bringing back coronavirus after traveling abroad. In the southern city of Guangzhou, there were rumors that two Nigerian COVID-19 patients were spreading the virus. That fueled a wave of anti-foreigner sentiment across China, where black people of many nationalities were targeted. Among them, two African-American women. They had moved to China for better career opportunities and a better standard of living. The World's Rebecca Canther met with the two women. They asked that we only identify them by their initials to avoid any potential problems with their residency in China.
4 years ago, JC, a teacher and poet from Mississippi, moved to China with her husband and two children on a grand adventure. Now she teaches literature to high schoolers in Guangzhou.
It was going to be an opportunity for us to, essentially experience the American dream that's easier to find in other places than it is in America.
BR, who's from Philadelphia, also found a version of that dream in Guangzhou. 6 years ago, she moved to the city for a short-term teaching job and wound up staying. She built up her own educational consulting business and brought over her 9-year-old nephew who she takes care of.
You know, my contract was for a year at that time. I say, you know, you can do a year. And then I changed so much and I didn't want to go back home. I was just thinking that there was nothing in America for me.
BR and JC say there's another thing China offers.
I do feel safer outside of the U.S. than I do at home. I feel safer in China because no matter what anybody thinks, Beck, at the end of the day, they can't shoot me for it. And I can't say that for living in the U.S.
China has its own brand of racism, one that's mixed with waves of anti-foreigner nationalism. Chinese people sometimes stare at JC and BR on the streets or move away from them on the subway. When the pandemic hit, fear of the virus made things much worse.
Outrage trails viral video showing Nigerians being forced out of their homes and their passports seized by security personnel in China.
Black people were targeted, no matter their nationality. They were refused taxi rides, banned from supermarkets, forced to quarantine in their homes or hospital isolation rooms, or even sleep on the streets after being kicked out of their apartments. JC and her family stayed indoors to keep safe.
It was scary here for a while. People made it very clear that they were fearful of us and didn't want us around. People were being harassed and people were being turned away at restaurants, or people would go to restaurants and everybody would get up and leave, and, you know, just very dehumanizing thing.
Around this time, BR saw a viral video shot at a McDonald's where she'd sometimes go to eat. An employee was holding up a sign that said in English, "No black people allowed." BR sent the video to a Chinese client she was friendly with.
What she said was, "Why are you always upset about these things?" At that point, I just felt like I didn't have like an ally.
One day, BR and other foreign teachers were blocked from leaving the campus where they were working and living.
And the guard just like held his hand up. Stop. No, you can't pass. Even with all of my whatever documents the university said I needed to leave, I just couldn't do it.
She was stuck on campus for weeks until the guards finally let her out. What she found surprised her.
Like, I went out and people were nice to me and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
So now when I go out, like if I go out to walk the dog, like the workers and everyone, they're like smiling and coming over to talk to me, where before they were like running away from me.
The change started happening in response to outrage from African governments. Provincial officials issued a statement saying that businesses should treat all people equally, and they set up a hotline for foreigners. For example, if someone called the hotline to complain they'd been turned away from a store, authorities would show up to resolve the problem.
That only needed to happen for about a week before people started to chill. And that's why, you know, you start serving some consequences and this stuff stops.
Of course, discrimination hasn't really stopped in Guangzhou, a city of 13 million people. But what BR found most disturbing was that people could change so abruptly in how they treated her, shunning her one day and welcoming her the next.
I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. Like, I don't know who I'm going to face or what mood they're going to be in that day based on what's going on.
Now, as protests in the U.S. are being broadcast around the world, BR and JC are watching closely. So are the Chinese people around them. After what BR went through, she doesn't feel comfortable talking about what's going on in the U.S. JC and her students, on the other hand, are talking openly about the protests.
I've definitely been grieving. On the verge of tears, not being able to sleep is hard. But my goodness, I have drawn so much energy from my students. And the outpouring of love that I got from those students was tremendous.
She feels some guilt that she's not in the U.S., where she'd be protesting. But she's found a sense of purpose in China.
I have to remind myself that, you know, there's pain all over the world. There's misunderstanding all over the world. There's racism all over the world. Wherever you are, you can do work towards that because it's everywhere.
For BR, the past few months have changed everything. Now she's trying to figure out where she and her nephew can go next.
We feel like we don't have a home. Here, it's not that comfortable right now, or maybe it hasn't been for a while. And then also, like, we can't really call America home anymore either. So it's just like, where do you go?
For The World, this is Rebecca Canther in Shanghai.
From PRX.